Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcast is supported by Twinmotion, the simple real-time rendering solution to create high-quality imagery, client presentations, and interactive experiences that help communicate your design ideas fast. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Good morning and all.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, I am powering through 4 hours of sleep over the last 2 days.
Because
our industry is chaotic and had a bunch of crazy requests at the last minute.
Two days is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
For 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You look great. I know they can't see, but you look great. You look fresh. You look fired up.
That's good to know.
I could be lying.
So I'm excited about our guest today. She is a project manager at Wright Engineers. It's a structural engineer. Please help me welcome Rachel Olson. Rachel, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad to have you on. Excited to dig in and chat about structural engineering. As a little peek behind the curtain for our listeners, we've actually worked together on several projects, including one that we just got approved yesterday. Literally last night or yesterday evening, we got a project approved. You and your amazing team were able to assist in talking the plan checker down on one comment at the last second. Jason, I was going through all of the plan check corrections.
Okay.
And I had to push back on a few for him because he's new. And like we've talked about before, going through his sheet, and he's like, my supervisor said this in his interpretation. I said, well, no, the code says this. And then he had to go back and talk to his supervisor.
Respect my authority.
And then got all of those cleared up. And then there was one left for structural. And he was like, well, I'm going to have to change this. And he was trying to explain to me his opinion. And then I was like, well, our contractor is coming today. So we wanted to pull the permit. Is there anything we could do to sort of talk about this or work around? And it's like, all right, I'll call the engineer. So he got on the phone with Rachel and her team, and after the conversation he came back and he's like, okay, we're good to go. I was like, yes.
Nice.
So
through in the clutch
after that long intro. Rachel, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what a structural engineer does?
Besides kill the dreams of architects.
We try not to do that. Sometimes. So a structural engineer, we do work very closely with architects. What we do is we analyze and design the structural components of a building. So if you've ever been to a job site before all the finishes and stuff are put on the building, you can see the structure. It's like the skeleton, kind of what's holding that building up. So what we do is we run calculations and we determine all the forces on that building. The forces would include self weight of the building, which we call dead load. They would include live loads, which would be the weight of its contents and occupants. And then we also include the lateral loads, which would be from earthquakes, windstorms, stuff like that. So we determine all those forces, and then we take those forces and we size the structural components to resist those forces. So we size things such as wall studs, floor joists, roof trusses, beams, foundations, all those kind of things to make sure the building is stable. So like I said, we work very closely with architects. Usually the architect will come to us with a floor plan, elevation, stuff that they want to do. And then we take that and we design the structure. We have to make sure the structure fits within the architecture of the building. We also try to make it as cost efficient as possible. We have to make sure it's buildable and then obviously structurally sound. So once we figure all that out, we put together some structural plans, architect puts together architectural plans. We both submit those to the city. And like Demetrius kind of already talked about, we have to go through plan check where the city kind of checks all your calcs and drawings, make sure everything is there. Once it's approved, it's good to go. It can start being built. And sometimes we go on site after the fact, just to observe the project as it's getting built.
What tends to be one of the more complex parts of your part in the project?
In my opinion, the remodels are a lot trickier than ground up construction, just because you have to work with what's already there. Sometimes you're lucky and you get some as-builts to go off of, meaning you have the original set of plans and you can assume it's been built that way and modify it from there. But sometimes the really tricky projects are when you don't have any as-builts and you have to go out on site and do some selective demo work to try and figure out what's there, or you just have to assume what's there, which can get very tricky. But even if you know what's there, you usually end up having to come up with some very custom solutions to fit with that project. So that can get a little tricky sometimes.
Yeah, the project that we were just working on, Jason, is a three-story condo, technically. Okay. Basically, sort of a single-family detached, but it's legally a condo-mapped project. And we did have as-builts on that one. But Rachel, you guys still had to go out and verify because we were missing pieces, I think, that didn't fill in the entire picture, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What happened is we had as-builts, you're right. But then when we went out on site the first time, we realized there was, you know, the house had been built slightly differently. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, the tract home condo kind of buildings have some options that owners are able to choose and build that way. And that house had lots of options. So it wasn't built quite like the as-built showed. So
or the trade sometimes on site thinks there's options they should throw in there. That...
Exactly. Yeah. You never
know.
Wall
an extra 6 inches.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if you have as-builts, it's still sometimes built differently. And yeah, those projects are fun.
Don't open the walls.
What are the critical items you're looking for when you, let's say in a remodel and you're trying to figure out exactly how to work your design, what critical items are you looking for in that existing building?
Typically we try to locate the lateral system of the building. So where the shear walls are, if it's wood framed or moment frames or anything taking that lateral force, we try to identify what it is and where it is, because we really don't want to mess with that if we don't have to. And then obviously just the structure itself, you know, which way the floor joists are spanning, where the load bearing walls are. We just try to figure out what is actually structural within that building, so we know to either tell the owner or the architect, please don't mess with this, this is going to cause a lot of problems. Or if we have to mess with it, we at least know what it is supporting.
When you mentioned locating that lateral system, is that more because we're in California, or is that something just in general that most structural engineers would be looking for?
I would hope it's in general. we actually do projects in all 50 states, but yeah, we always look for that lateral system. In every structure, there should be some sort of a lateral system and some sort of a gravity system supporting those forces. So some states are stricter than others with those systems. Yeah. So like in California, the earthquake loads are a lot higher than other states. So the lateral system might be a lot more rigid, I guess, than other states. In Florida, they have a lot of wind loads, so their lateral systems are going to be quite heavy too. But yeah, in general, every building should have some sort of a lateral system.
We're going to take a quick break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. Let's talk ArcViz technology. Powered by the near limitless Unreal Engine, our friends at Twinmotion offer a fast and easy way to produce stunning real-time visualizations and immersive experiences for your clients. Twinmotion gives you the tools you need to make faster decisions and relay information to your clients in a way that instantly speaks to them. Breathe life into your scene by changing the season, the weather, the time of day, just by moving a slider, immersing your client in a way that they'll love, and more importantly, be able to truly picture themselves in. Why not share your design with stakeholders in collaborative reviews and edit your scene together? There's no better way to get buy-in than by making your clients feel part of the development process. Right now, they're running an exclusive free trial, which you can head to twinmotion.link/spaces to get your hands on. That's twinmotion.link/spaces.
So on your guys' project, right? Where does it typically start from a production standpoint? So like you get in there with the owner, Demetrius, draw up what the new plan is, and then you would get with Rachel, and then she'd kind of go and do her, you know, look at the plans and then go on site and look at like, how's that whole schematic work?
So from my perspective, usually I'll meet with the client and then we come up with the schematic design and get it to a point where there won't be any, hopefully there won't be any changes. Sometimes we go in where there's a likelihood certain areas are going to continue to evolve. So I'll get with the engineer like Rachel and give her the plans that are usually at that point in CAD drawings. Okay. And so they have something to sort of work off of. And then if there is some area that's going to evolve, just let her know, you know, this spot is probably going to evolve a little bit. So let me know if there's anything I can or cannot do that might be an issue, and just sort of point out those areas. And then from that point, Rachel, you want to kind of take over on what you're looking at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And for those remodels, what I tell people is it's definitely better to get the engineer involved as early as possible, just so we can give you some direction on what's structural and what's not. You know, architecturally, you can do just about anything to these buildings. It's just how much money you want to spend doing it. So we can kind of advise on what to touch and what not to touch.
And so are you both usually in contact then with the owner, or is it funnel through one person primarily?
It depends on the relationship with the client. Usually, so like if I'm working with a homeowner, whether it's ground up or remodel, they'll more than likely just kind of go through me, and then I'll coordinate with all the other designers just so there's one point of contact and it's not like, you know, chaos. Opinions coming from every direction. And then that usually works because I can filter out certain things from the client. Like
this architect sucks. And
I'm No, like if they want to change something that I think I can convince them otherwise, I won't necessarily give that to Rachel for instance, until I can work and get a confirmation on if that's going to change, because you don't want to give all the other designers all these initial thoughts of changes and then they start going down a path and then have to back out of that.
So. Yeah, for sure. We definitely prefer it that way too. Also, just so we can kind of present a coordinated front to the owner. We're both on the same page.
So. Yeah. And that's usually extremely helpful too, to have a group of designers that are in good relationship to talk and be on the same page and understand what each other are trying to do.
Yeah, you can get a clean message across, right? Nice and concise.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So Rachel, as you let's back up. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship of coordinating with architects? Like, what exactly do you want from an architect to make your job easier, or what are things that you see that make your job harder? And I won't be offended if I've done any of them.
I mean, a lot of it like you said, it's usually the owner talking to the architect who then talks to us. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that can cause delays, I guess, is more owner driven than architect driven, such as, you know, the architect gives us a set of drawings and then those drawings drastically change like a month later, a day before we're supposed to go into the city. So it's stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes you have no control over that. It is what it is. Stuff that makes it easier. I don't know if this is necessarily easier, but I definitely like working with architects and owners who are kind of open to making small changes. So usually when floor plans get sent to me, I go through and I do some preliminary calcs and red lines and just see kind of what the overall engineering is going to look like. And I make comments, they're called value engineering comments, such as, if we can make this wall like 3 inches longer, we can use a wood shear wall instead of a steel shear wall. Or if we can make this floor just a little bit thicker, we can use something more cost efficient. And so I'll go through and make comments like that and usually send them back over to the architect and they can decide whether or not they want to make those changes. And if they don't, it's fine. But if they do, it generally makes the building process and design process a little bit more straightforward.
So architects should listen to the structural engineer. That's what I'm hearing.
If they can. Yeah. They can't always do it. Cause it
this is me just trying to poke.
Yeah. It's a balance because sure. we're trying to figure out, you know, definitely want to listen to the engineer of how to make it more cost effective. Oh. But what is the trade-off from what we're trying to accomplish? So there's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah. And just being understanding to where the structural engineer is coming from, because sometimes architects present us with some off the wall stuff that is just, they don't understand how costly it's going to be. And so it's nice working with an architect who understands a little bit better our scope of work. Demetrius, you're pretty good at that.
Thank you. I try to keep it simple. When you said off the wall, what was the first thing that came to mind? You don't have to say names or locations or anything.
But you can if you want. It's okay too.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. Recently I had a project with, it was a retail space. And on one side of the building, we had a double cantilever, floor cantilever, and the cantilever was only shown, I think it's like 6 or 8 inches thick, and it was going 6 or 7 feet off the building. And so
so it's a diving board.
Exactly. And it was supporting, I think, 2 stories above it, load bearing. And yeah, we had to call them and say, we got to change something here. We either need to reduce this cantilever or make it thicker or something.
See, I'm not an architect nor a structural engineer, but let's be real.
Right. So it's stuff like that.
Holy cow.
So the audience couldn't get this, but as you were telling the story, Rachel, both me and Jason's eyes, like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how much stuff we do get like that though.
Yeah. Don't do that. That's scary.
I actually have a project where I saw a similar condition. It wasn't 6 or 7 feet, but it was like a little skinny 4 to 6 inch deck with no support. I don't even know how it was standing itself. That stuck out probably about 5 feet.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, I don't understand how this is staying up. It's just wood. How is this still here? It's a really old house.
Yeah, that's why those old houses have some funky stuff on there.
But that's the scary thing, especially when you get into those remodels or you meet a contractor or whatever, like, oh yeah, we can totally do this. And it has no basis behind it whatsoever. And you look, and then even just a layman person can come in and be like, that doesn't look right. like, I don't want to walk on that. And but somehow they convinced the person it was the right way to do it. Like, that's the scary part, you know?
You're like, I took physics, at least one class in physics, and I don't think that's right.
Yeah, like I said, I remember the diving board. You know what I mean? Just like walking the plank. Yeah, I'm like, holy cow. That's funny.
So as we're winding down here, Rachel, what's one thing, you touched on a few thoughts, but is there one thing that you would want to express to people about when they're designing their buildings and approaching a project, to consider about the structure to keep in mind as they're kind of starting up a project?
Yeah, just get a structural engineer involved for sure. I mean, in California, it's required. Most states, it is required. But yeah, I mean, we go to school for this stuff. We know what we're doing. Get us involved early so we can help give some guidance, especially if it's a remodel. If it's a ground up, you know, you can definitely call us and ask, you know, what kind of materials should we be looking at? We're available to help.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rachel. Really enjoyed the conversation. Appreciate your time. Is there somewhere that people, our listeners, could find out more about you or check out Wright Engineers?
Yeah. So I work for Wright Engineers. It's an awesome firm. We have lots of different locations, California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas. And we do projects in all 50 states. We have a website, just wrightengineers.com. And yeah, you can find my contact info there, or you can just go and kind of check out all the different types of projects we've done.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining me, Jason. Thank you to the listeners for listening. And we will talk again next week. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try Twin Motion for free. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like, long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my God.
The one that came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.